God is moving. Do you believe it? So, this is our responsibility is what? To be the constant person at the door saying, I'm loving the way God has called me to love. I'm serving the way God has called me to serve. And part of that is praying, right? Now, you saw a whole bunch of them back up. I'll make you do it, all right? This is interactive service. I want to hear you speak, all right? You saw these students. This is what I'm hoping for. That you saw a student, you're like, and God just made a twinge in your heart and go, I need to be praying for that student. You saw a teacher and you go, I need to be praying for that teacher, right? And in that, this is what my charge is, because this is what we do as a church. This is what how we do a community of being a body, right? My hope is not only do you feel that twinge that you start going, okay, I need to be praying for that student, whether going off to college or first grade or kindergarten or senior or freshman year, all right? I need to be praying for that student. But as we have learned in the past, prayer is not just this silence that God between you and God. Prayer usually makes you act. All right? And this is what I'm going to charge you with. If you feel God has twinged you to be praying for somebody, loving somebody, thinking about them this school year, I challenge you to invest in them the way God has called you to invest in them. It will change a life. And it might not even be the student. It might be yours that's changed. Do you understand that? I've seen it. I've been part of it. I love it. I encourage you to do it. Because the moment I see our church start taking these steps and not just loving our little cliques that we have, that's easy, but loving across generations, wow. You start seeing a bond that people, the world starts going, I want to be a part of that. All right? So I challenge you to do that. I'm not going to make any kind of program that you can call into the church if you were like, hey, the student that was the third off to the right, I need to know them. Okay, we'll figure that out, right? And we will get you connected to a student that we believe that you are called to be a part of in their life and be praying for them and connecting with them. We'll do our best with that, but we're not going to make some program for this. The reality is this is just part of life that we should be doing in the first place, okay? We don't need any program for it. What we need is just us being diligent and saying, yes, I'll step up. All right? So that's my challenge. That's my little spiel. Welcome. So glad you're here this morning. If this is your first time, I'm the senior pastor. Yeah, I'm the guy. My name is Ben Alexander, and I am just glad to be here with you this morning. God is good, right? We are doing this sermon series. I know I didn't finish it, and some of you are going to be upset all the time. All right, good deal, all right, I don't know if I believe it with you, all right, let's try it one more time, I guess. God is good? All the time? All right, now I feel completed too, all right, and you guys are alive and awake, so good, right? All right, good deal. We're going through a series called Good News, and last week I brought the sermon, and it was about the shortest verse to memorize. I got this one down in quizzing. Right? Jesus wept. Right? And how is that connected? Right? You got that one too? Did you guys memorize that this week? Yeah. Yeah, you got it down? All right. Test is coming next week. Where's the reference? Oh, man. What is it? John 11:35? Is that right? All right. Good deal. Sweet. Better than your pastor. All right. Now I'm sweating. Whew. All right. God is good. Don't you? All right. That's my ums. Anyway, so we talked about good news and how Jesus wept and making and that understand what that means in good news for us, right? All the things that we go through and all the life situations that we deal with, we have a God and a Savior that loves us with us in those things. He doesn't abandon us those. He's going through them. Right? And that's good news for us. Especially those who you know that are going through horrible times. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. First off, real quick, good news. The good news is this. Jesus Christ was brought to us by his Father, God, given to us. Right? To show us how to live to show us that there's a way. Do you know that the first church wasn't called Nazarene? It was called the Way. And do you know that the Way meant a movement? They never had an address. They did life together. They met together on the way of life. And they became the way to live. Right? Such an awesome thing. The good news is this. Jesus is given to us as a sacrificial lamb for our sins. Let's let that settle there for a second. We sit here today having this kind of service today because of our Savior. We're able to have a relationship with God that's not like any other in history. The Old Testament could not have this relationship with God. God could not be in the presence of His people because we were shrouded with sin. And in the presence of God, sin cannot be. It has to be eradicated. Therefore, if God showed His presence, we would all die. Now, can you imagine our Creator, the one that created us, the one that embraces us, the one that is the source of all life and good and being, and not being able to embrace that? Not being able to truly understand that. And in that, all we can do is going, okay, if you do this right, if you walk this many steps on this day, and you eat a certain thing and not eat another thing, and just keep piling up and piling up and piling up, right? In order to have a semi-decent relationship with our Creator. There was such a wall between us and God. And God didn't put that wall there. We chose that wall. We fell. We deal with sin. We deal with all those things. And sin has created this wall between us and our Creator. And Jesus came and He eradicated all that. And we have a connection to our Savior. We have a connection to our Creator. We know who God is in our life the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know the good news. There's more to this. There's more to where I live. There's more to who I am. There's more to what is this that the world promises. I am connected to the one that made this world. I'm connected to the one that has embraced this world. I'm connected to the one that sent His Son to this world. I'm connected to the one that His Son died for this world. I'm connected to the one that now He is resurrected and is alive and is defeated death. I'm connected to that. Let me tell you the good promise there. Let me tell you the good news. Guess what? Death no longer has a sting on me. Now, I have done a disservice to that good news many a times in my life. And I don't think I'm probably the only one. All right? Have you ever walked away from a situation and go, okay, well, I told them about the gospel, and there they go. Let's see whatever happens. And it's in God's hands, and good luck, right? And you ever heard the you know, you talk about the verses, well, I put seed down, it's up to God to take care of that. You know, it might be on the rocky seed. It might be on the scorched earth kind of seed, but it's all God. He's going to take care of it, right? He's got that, right? You know the verses that I'm talking about? Like, I've done it. I've heard it. Like, I've talked to people and going, man, I don't know if I got the message. Well, you may have just laid a seed. That's okay. Or do you ever go and walk away and like, I don't know. I'm just going to pray for them, I guess. I'm just going to pray, and hopefully God will bloom in their life and take off. Right? Anybody else? Now, can you imagine? Let me reference what we're going through right now. Matthew 13. All right? If you want to get your Bibles out, it's Matthew 13 is what we're going through. All right? It's the parable of the sower. All right? Is that what it's called? Yes, parable of the sower. I did study, I promise. All right? God is good. All right, just seeing if you're still awake. All right. All right, so we're going to talk about gardening this morning. Something I know nothing about. Okay? Anybody a gardener here? You love gardening, right? Okay, this is probably what my garden would look like. All right? And I would probably go out there and go, okay, I'm going to plant some seed. And I will tell you, what I would probably do is just go and buy some, I don't know, grass seed and just throw it out there and go, okay, hopefully it rains and takes. Is that going to work, gardeners? Nobody told me that. Maybe. I might get some weeds. All right? I'll mow that weed. All right? Might get some birds, right? Right? And I just throwing it out there. What, and if I want some potatoes, I'll just go buy some seeds, right? And just throw, potatoes. I meant tomatoes. Woo! It's an early morning. It's not going good. All right? Buy some tomato seeds, throw them out there, and hopefully it takes, right? Gardening is such an interest, like there's so much more to it, right? You got to get some topsoil, you got to dig, you got to get your hands in that soil, right? You got to remove some rocks, you got to do the work to cultivate a garden, right? This is not how my garden would turn out to be. This is not how my lawn, I know there's not a real garden there, right? But that's not how it would look, right? That took a lot of effort. That took a lot of work, right? Let me read some verses to you. This is Jesus talking, right? And he's in front of a giant crowd of people, kind of sitting off on the ledge, sitting on the edge of the lake. And you just have this scene, and he just starts talking. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because of the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they were withered because of what they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. All right. Early Christian, I heard that, and what I thought was, okay, I'll wear a shirt that says Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and good luck to everybody. Isn't that good enough? I'll wear a sweatshirt that says Seek Jesus. My daughter has one. I'm making fun of her, right? And just walk around, and hopefully somebody will ask me about it, right? I want you to know, this is not what God and Jesus had intended when it comes to this verse, when it comes to this understanding of the parable. He doesn't just say, be reckless with the garden. He says, go out, plant, dig into the soil. And I want to examine that for us to understand. Listen, we're all in agreement. I'm getting excited when I talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's hard not to be, especially when I stand up on this stage and I have other believers with me, right? And we understand who Jesus Christ is. Like, we are all in agreement who he is. He's our Lord and Savior, right? Okay, all right. He's our Lord and Savior, right? All right, good deal. Just making sure, all right? It's easy to stand on this stage and do that. It's hard to live it out with the one that doesn't believe, the one that questions it, the one that is sitting there evaluating every movement and every way I'm talking in a situation, and they know Jesus is my Savior. It's really difficult to plant a garden when I'm the weed. When I'm sitting there with my coworker gossiping about my boss, or sitting there, you know, complaining about my wife, or all those things, right? And just keep participating in a life that God has redeemed me from, right? And expect, hey, Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, you need him. And it's not coming out, that garden isn't coming out of me. The good news needs to be resonant in my life. The good news needs to be a garden within my life. And before we can even garden anybody else's, before we can even get into the soil of somebody else's, I highly encourage you to make sure you're tending to what God has given you. That you're spending time in prayer, that you're spending time with Him in Scripture, that you're spending time with God alone are essential to being productive and producing what God has in store for you, right? Now, can God use me? Absolutely. He even says He can use bad things to glorify Him. I don't want to be one of the bad things. That's not a verse that you go, okay, all right, let's test it. I'm not going out there today, all right, I'm going to punch somebody and hopefully they find Jesus in this. Right? Because I think within this world that we live in, we sometimes feel that way because sometimes somebody that's around you probably deserves a punch. I'm nervous about over here, all right? We'll go to the other door when you leave today. But no, that's reality. And when we have that moment of like with Jesus tending to our garden and understanding it, guess what He gives us? Patience. We're gentle, we're kind, we're loving in the areas that are not called for those, but are redeemed through them. The world will tell you right now, hey, they said this about you, they did this to you, they're robbing you blind and left and right, and they're saying things behind your back, and the world will be like, what are you going to do next? How are you going to respond? How are you going to be this way? They need to get their own. You need to probably go complain to HR. You need to go tell somebody about your wife doing that to you, because you need to start a club. Right? And it's easy, even in our own culture, within our own community of believers, it's easy to get caught up in the stuff that's not godly. We disguise it with prayer, we disguise it with praise, we disguise it with prayer request, right? Well, so-and-so, man, have you heard? They need prayer. They're going through this, they're got a divorce, they're dealing with it. Oh, I didn't hear that. Oh, let's get it on the prayer chain. Right? Now, it's not so much that way today, but it's still there, is it not? And it's really easy for us to get caught up with it and be disguised by, well, we just want to love on them. Listen, what this parable is talking about is what it means to be a sacrificial gardener for God. Yeah. When we are reckless with the seed of life, the life of God that He provides, right? When He's saying, hey, there's good news, we are called to share this good news, and it's not for us to go and blindly go, hey, Jesus loves you, get on the right track, you're either turn or burn. Good luck to you. And I might touch some toes on this one. I might step on some toes. If your avenue of witnessing and sharing the good news is Facebook, I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably not hitting the mark. You know, you're probably getting on there for all these likes and loves, but I'm pretty sure most of those likes and loves are from other believers agreeing with you. Yeah, come to our camp. We're the best. And it draws a line in the sand and you go, yep, they don't want me to be a part of this. Do you know what it means to garden for sharing Jesus' love? It means going the extra mile with your neighbor who is in desperate need of all the love and kindness that you can ever be. And they're because they're mean and they're saying, get off my lawn. And they're saying, how dare you? Or they might even take you to court, right? And God's saying, I have put this person in your life to be your neighbor, not to be a bane to your existence, because they need the grace and mercy that I have for them. And the only person that can do this, the only person in this moment, is you. What are you going to do? Well, I'll pray for him. that they move. Right? That's the easy thing. It is. What if we as a church, or even his, just us individually as a believer in Jesus Christ, truly believe the message that he has bestowed upon us, that he is the good news, that he has come in and he's renovated everything inside this, changed it to be something that it was never before. I am good now, not because of anything that I do, because of what Jesus Christ did in me. And you believe that, and you go, wow, I've seen this, I believe this, I want to embrace this. How can that be contained by you? How can that message just be lost on just you? Like, I understand we all have different traits. We all have different skills. We all have different gifts. That's great. But it's not great if you don't use it to glorify God. It's a waste. You see, we all have a role in this, and it's not just the so-and-so is great at this. No, 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 no. We all have a role in this. Do you understand that people around you, God has placed in your life for a reason? And I have learned, listen, this right here, right? This is beautiful. Water's flowing, that wheel's running, the grass is green. It looks beautiful, right? Like, I had Airbnb there in a heartbeat and be relaxed. Here, I'd be stressed out. I'd be thinking, well, they don't care. I want my money back. Can you imagine sitting on the porch here and going, all right, as the tractor in the background is making a lot of noise, and all right, God, let's find peace, right? Listen. Were you perfect when you were born? Were you perfect when you came to God? When did you become perfect? When did you become this? I'll tell you what happened for me. Somebody showed me Jesus Christ, and they didn't just show me. They prayed over me. They tilled that soil. They made me question what I was doing and how I was living. They listened to my questions. They listened to the things that I was going through. And they didn't judge me. They didn't criticize me. They didn't say anything that drew me away from God. In fact, they would question, like, hey, do you think that's what God would want for your life? They'd question me in ways that made me rethink how I was living. Because it wasn't living for God. It wasn't living for the life that I wanted. And I found myself always in a state of going, who am I and why am I this way? And the moment that I realized I am God's and he created me this way to glorify him, woo, I started seeing this. And I want you to know the perfection isn't by me. The perfection is that God has worked within me. Now, there's still weeds. There's still bald spots that come up sometimes that need to be tended to. Absolutely. I'm a work in progress. I would love somebody to design a lawn, not a turf, a lawn that you never had to mow and the weeds never came up and you just look out and like, it's perfect every day. Woo-hoo. Don't have to sweat. And honestly, I think spiritually we would like that to with other people. If there's no sweat equity in relationships, we would cherish it. We'd throw his stuff out and like, all right, God's got this, all right. I planted that seed. He calls us to put some sweat equity into our relationships with him and others. The soil is rocky. The soil is not going to give to itself. We have to tend to it. Do you understand what that means? You are called to love the extra mile. You are called to see the issues that the other is going through, not necessarily to point it out, but to go through it with them. to get the wheelbarrow and go, okay, you know that area in your life that's just, it's horrible right now, right? Do you need that in your life? Do you, it keeps leading you down the wrong path, right? If you're dealing and alcohol has become in a consumption of your life, maybe you shouldn't have it in your life anymore. And let me show you when you're not dealing with it and how you are dealing with it. Let me show you the person that you are and that you're not, and let me be a part of that. And when they fail, this is the big thing, church. When they fail, you don't go to God and like, see, they'll never be different. I'm done. Put somebody else in their life. I want you to know, God has never said that about you. And I'm pretty sure you've probably given him those thoughts. No, probably not. But you probably deserve those thoughts. I know I do. There's probably moments in my life that I have been with God and God's, not again. Really? I have redeemed you and redeemed you and redeemed. There's been so many camp experiences that I have been redeemed at. Right? Think about that with our walk with others and how we need to garden and how we need to love. We need to be the good news. The good news doesn't just go out there and wear it. The good news actually lives it and breathes it. There's a quote that I love. It's by Dr. Jeff Stark. As Christians, I think we waste too much seed because we haven't done our part to tend to the plot of land we have been given. We all want a good harvest, but we don't want to put the work in the garden. This is going to sound so harsh, and I'm not meaning this harsh. I think a lot of us would love every seat to be in here filled, including me. But would we really care about everyone that sat in these seats to know where they are spiritually? Are we more concerned to filling this building than making sure every soul is tended to? Do you understand that? I think God blesses us with the people that we can handle. Amount, issues, whatever that is. And if our compassion level, if our loving level is not very high, guess what? Our door starts to shrink. Our capacity starts to shrink. If we're giving, sacrificing, loving beyond what God has called us to love, guess what starts to happen? It doesn't mean the numbers rise here, but it means the people that we have an influence starts to rise. Because how do we see the people then at that point, the way God sees us? His precious gift that he has created, that he loves, that he tends to on a regular basis, that he mulls over and changes the soil when it needs to be changed, right? There's another quote that I love that I'm going to butcher it, but I think it's amazing. I think it's an awesome quote. Can you imagine a farmer going to Walmart Produce Center and saying, all right, it's time to harvest? Do you understand that? It's already stuff that's been harvested. It's already been taken care of. It's ridiculous, right? I'm seeing looks like, did he lose his mind? I think we think our garden most of the time is here. We either bring people here and expect them to change because they're going to have a wonderful message, and I'm going to change people's lives forever. Absolutely not. God does that. And what I think as a pastor, and as you, I think you will believe and see too, the change happens when you include God in all the relationships that you have, and you'll start to see the change, not just in the person that you're loving that needs him, but also in you. You'll find purpose and rhythm into your life when you're a part of the gardening process of him. Right? So my question for you this week is this. Are you committed to garden? Are you committed to allow God to come in and turn over your soil? Committed to him being coming in and going, okay, these weeds need to be taken care of. And then going out and saying, okay, I'm not going to be reckless with this seed, this good news. I'm not going to be reckless with this. In fact, I'm going to share it with one person this week, and this person is going to become the person that I pray with nonstop or pray for nonstop. I'm going to go the extra mile because they need the extra mile, and I'm going to be involved in their life to let them know I'm involved in their life because of what God has done in my life. I guarantee you, God has somebody in your life that you need to tend to the garden. That they need the seed of good news because they have no good news in their life. They live day to day. They live week to week. They live paycheck to paycheck. And they have no hope. They have no desire of what it means to live in Jesus Christ. And we sit here and we understand who Jesus Christ is us and inside of us and gives us hope and understanding of who we are. And we cannot hold on to that and say, it's mine and nobody else can have it. In fact, the moment we understand this message, we should be living billboards of who Jesus Christ is in our life, not just by what we wear, but by how we live and talk and breathe. We should be the crazy one on our block that's willing to go the extra mile for the crazy neighbor that nobody likes. Right? That is what we're called to do. And who gives us the strength to do that? God does. God does, is in the garden, and where we start is how we seed. We have the good news. Are we willing to be part of the gardening process? Church, stand with me. My challenge for this week is, are you willing to garden? Are you willing to be part of the process? And first off, does God need to come in and trim some areas in your life? That's the question this week. Are you allowing God to come in and trim your garden? Are you willing to go out and tend to the garden that He has put in your life? Those two questions right there. Take with this week. Pray about it. Do it. I charge you. Church, you're dismissed to become gardeners for God.